Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Mazur, and today we're talking about contract surrogate pregnancy, a topic that I never thought I'd ever be talking about. We have with us Pastor Jay Gallimore. Welcome, Pastor Jay.
Thank you, Tom.
We always appreciate you and your insights and the kind, thoughtful, insightful words that you share. But we also have a guest, Genevieve Marnon, and she is part of Right to Life, and she's a legislative liaison and director of that program. Mm-hmm. And she's been on our program before on very important subjects dealing with life. And we appreciate both Genevieve and Pastor Jay being a part of this conversation. It's a legislation that is coming to your neighborhood, coming to our state, and you need to be aware of. And you may want to have a word about the potential changes that not only institutionalize surrogate pregnancy legally, but has ramifications on existing birth certificates and relationships with traditional births. Pastor Jay, would you lead us with a word of prayer?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we're living in a very difficult and complicated world that's made more complicated because of man's rebellion against you, his desire to play God and to take your place. And Father, as we talk about this important subject, we pray that your presence will be with us, that you'll give us insights from your word. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Jay, in your prayer, my thoughts were directed that it just seems to be a series of moral, social issues are coming at us at a greater frequency and with great impact upon the traditional understanding of families and moral constructs.
We are certainly involved in a great struggle between good and evil. And the prophet Isaiah talks about a time when people will start to call evil good and then end up calling good evil. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. This is a very sensitive subject, Tom. And I just want to start out by saying that my wife and I understand the a challenge of not having babies show up, of being maybe infertile, if that's the right word. And God blessed us with two beautiful adopted children that I still enjoy. I lost Linda a couple of years ago or more, but they are such a great blessing in our lives, and we love them so very much. So we just want to say to everybody that's listening to us, as we talk about this very difficult subject, that we are not in any way unsympathetic to parents or to couples that are struggling to have a child or children. And so keep that in mind as we talk about this, but we are interested in seeing the family maintained. We don't want to see children become commercialized. And I'm so glad Genevieve is here because she's going to help us to understand what's going on in the legislature and society as a whole on this issue.
Genevieve, will you define surrogate pregnancy?
Sure. So surrogacy was not an issue until like 1985 when the first test tube babies were created in a lab where you could take gametes, eggs and sperm from man and woman, and make an embryo in a petri dish and then implant it in a woman. So since then, we've seen a explosion of surrogacy where someone else's gametes, egg and sperm and embryo, are carried by another woman. So that's been going on across the world and across the state of Michigan for many years. One of the first cases was the Baby M case from 1985, which directly led to Michigan's current law, which prohibits surrogacy contracts. Now, the act of carrying someone else's child for an altruistic purpose, non-paid, non-commercialized, is legal. What the current legislation, proposed legislation, would do would be to allow contracts, legally binding contracts. And I think we're going to get into that later in the program, but that's a problem.
Right. Adding that one word, contract, is very, very significant. What is bringing us to this is it's a this is somewhat of a worldwide movement that is coming, and it's come to Michigan. Now, what is the proposed legislation?
Okay, so let me back up real quick. Sure. So current law in Michigan, and we are different than the other 48 states. There are only two states left in the country that do not allow compensated, commercialized surrogacy contracts.
So we're in the gun sites.
Yes. So, but right now, current law says if you are an infertile couple and you have a family member or a friend who'd like to carry your child for you, that's legal. But you still have to go through an adoption process. And that's really what we're hearing. That's the big mantra we're hearing in the media. We shouldn't have to adopt our own child. Well, there's a reason why that safeguard is in place. And that's because you don't have to use your own gametes. You don't have to use husband's a sperm and wife's egg. Donor gametes, donor eggs, donor sperm, and surrogates means you're not even genetically related to the child. And so that adoption step is a safeguard to make sure that child is actually being placed in an appropriate home as opposed to being sold or abused or in a bad situation. So we like the current law the way it is, and we're hoping that we can maintain it. This really upends things quite a bit.
Okay, so dig a little deeper what is the implication? What's so bad about a contract? Why does that one word change the whole formula?
So, and Pastor Jay, you can jump in here too. From a moral standpoint, whenever you take God out of the equation and you take nature out of the equation, you tend to run into problems, you know? So whenever you create embryos, babies, human beings, these are human beings we're talking about, tiny, tiny cellular human beings. What happens is, you have a tendency to say, well, I want the best one. I'm going to screen these embryos, and it becomes very eugenic. And so what happens...
You'll have to explain the word eugenic, but you're basically opened the Pandora box. You've opened up a whole group of questions that weren't even discussed before.
Correct. So now what they do is they will look through these embryos, these tiny human beings, and they'll say, this one's good, this one's bad, this one's good, this one. And they discard them. They throw away human beings. And so in vitro fertilization often will do that. But surrogacy contracts, because you're now paying for it, will create more. And we're going to have a loss of human life in all of these embryos that are created.
Exponential.
So right now, only about 8% of lab-created embryos ever go on to become a living human being. 92% of them are thrown away. So when you commercialize something, you get more of it, and that's a problem.
There becomes a pressure, a demand. Mm-hmm. What happens, we'll want to go on this further, use the word eugenics. What's so bad about the word eugenics?
Well, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want somebody else to decide that I shouldn't have the right to exist because I'm going to be short, or maybe I'm going to be blonde hair instead of dark hair, or dark hair instead of blonde hair, or male instead of female, or whatever else the case may be. And they selectively sort out embryos based on things like male or female, for example. And they'll throw away all the female embryos or the male embryos or
so
whatever.
It's kind of, for the lack of term, is going internet shopping and saying on a given website, and you select through, I want a male, I want it to have this, and if it falls outside that parameter, which you can't totally control, manipulations post-fertilization activity take place.
They will throw away the embryos. But the other thing that happens is they may then implant embryos into the surrogate. Often they will implant more embryos than they want living children.
Which opens up another
problem with contracts. Yes. So in these contracts, there's almost without exception an abortion clause. Thus the reason Right to Life is Michigan isn't interested in these laws. But whereby the commissioning or intended parents can tell the surrogate, I only want two babies and there are three embryos that took, they're living, I want you to discard one of them. And then the doctor will look and say, well, that one's the smallest or the weakest or it doesn't look the most promising, so let's get rid of that one. And they will do a selective abortion on one of those embryos. And that happens almost without exception in these surrogacy contracts. And if the woman, the surrogate, chooses not to abort, you can't hold her down and force her. But then she's faced with financial consequences, breach of contract, not getting paid, sued for pain and suffering. And so it's extremely coercive.
And are these mothers in a position to object?
Well, you bring up a good point, Tom. And that is that almost without exception, there is a giant disparity financially between the intended or commissioning parent and the surrogate. Vulnerable, poor women are often exploited in these surrogacy contract situations because they do it for the money. It's about between $60,000 and $100,000 a year for a surrogacy.
So if they have second choices, they don't have much choice in reality.
To not have the abortion, you mean?
Right.
Correct. Unfortunately, that is the case.
Now, what has been the experience worldwide? This literally started before it's in Michigan. It's propagated or fomented around the world. How has the world reacted? What are examples at the different extremes?
So the United States of America, the 48 states that allow surrogacy contracts, it's a mixed bag. California is almost a free-for-all. It's the wild, wild west. It's a surrogacy tourist destination.
Explain that.
Meaning people from all over the world will come to California to buy donor eggs, to buy surrogate wombs, and to produce children that then they will take back to their home countries.
That's a pretty cold term, surrogate wombs.
Well, it's the reality. It's a rent-a-womb. You're renting someone's womb to carry your child for you. But in many countries, surrogacy is completely banned. Most European countries do not allow any form of surrogacy, including altruistic or non-compensated, non-contractual surrogacy like we have in Michigan right now. They don't allow any of it.
For that to happen, there must be a story and a history.
Yes, they see how exploitive these surrogacy arrangements are.
It degenerates?
It commodifies children, for sure, and it exploits women. And I'll give you a perfect example. Thailand, the country of Thailand, and India.
Which have a poor class.
Yes.
And in Thailand, probably even more so.
Extreme poverty in both of those countries. And their permissive surrogacy laws made them ripe for being surrogacy destinations, tourist destinations, if you will, where people from around the country, around the world, would broker a surrogate woman from Thailand or India, pay her nothing, really very little, but to carry their child for them. What happened is these women were being exploited to such a grave degree that their countries, India and Thailand, have actually modified their laws and pulled them back to no longer allow international surrogacy contracts, which is good for their women. And yet here we are in Michigan trying to expand it. And we're hoping that that won't happen. We're hoping to stop these bills.
You know, as this has been described, and to me, I think about animal husbandry, and that's a pretty cold but stark image that comes to mind. Every step of the process, as much as humanly possible, is controlled by somebody for an economic gain.
It is when you are talking about surrogacy contracts. So, like I said, right now in the state of Michigan, an infertile couple could use the husband's sperm, the wife's egg, have a friend carry the child for them, and then go through the legal adoption process, and that's legal. But under these proposed bills, you know, donor eggs, donor sperm, and surrogate womb, the intended parents may not have any genetic relationship to the child whatsoever.
A high probability.
In many cases, there will be. They will be husband and wife, but in many cases, there won't be. In addition to that, these proposed bills don't even require that the intended parents are married. They could be two men, two women, two unrelated heterosexual people who want to jointly own a child. And if you're from the child's perspective, that's a problem. Children are not commodities, and yet these proposed bills will allow them to be essentially purchased and become owned by two intended parents.
So what's the difference between adoption and surrogacy?
Well, Pastor Jay, you could probably jump in here on this one, because being an adoptive father.
Well, I can just simply say we live in a broken world. There are a lot of children out there, for whatever reasons, that are going to need a home that's not going to be provided for them, or at least not the kind of home that somebody, maybe an unwed mother, could provide for them. And so there's just a need for that. And so those children need love, they need kindness, and it's just a win-win, because you've got parents who want to give that love and children who need that love. It's not being manipulative in any way. It's trying to bring the needs of the children, and it starts from the child's needs. In fact, that's why adoption exists anyway, is because they're trying to find a way to take care of those children. So they're not being bought and sold, they're not being commercialized. It's meeting a need, and from both ends, but it starts with the need of the child. And of course, there's a blessing for that too.
Pastor Jay, you just made a very, very good point, a very good distinction between adoption and surrogacy, because in both situations, the child is being carried in the womb of a mother that it's not going to be raised by. And that's a tragedy for the child, because there is bonding that goes on. I've had three children. Trust me, you bond with that baby in your womb. That baby comes out, knows your voice, knows your smell, knows your touch. Mm-hmm. And so there's that, to take the child away from the mother that grew it and birthed it.
Nurtured it
is a tragedy. The difference between adoption, though, and surrogacy is that adoption is child-centric. Surrogacy mm-hmm. is adult-centric, because yeah. you're intentionally creating a child knowingly to take it from mm-hmm. the birth mother. You're intentionally mm-hmm. creating this child to fill the needs or wants of the parent. As genuine as those needs and wants may be, you may absolutely want a child desperately and love this child, but you're intentionally creating a child to be taken from its birth mother. In the case of adoption, the tragedy of the circumstances has created this having to part the child from its mother, and the adoptive parents are stepping in, like you said, Pastor Jay, to fill the needs of the child. Big difference, really.
Correct. And the surrogate issue, too, they're destroying children. In other words, to underline the point that it's adult-centered, so they're saying, okay, we can't do the surrogate thing unless we... you know, we have a bunch to choose from, and we're going to destroy a lot of little tiny human beings in order to get this one. Nothing like that is going on in adoption.
That is a fact. That's a good point, too, because you're right. When you're going to invest the kind of money that they have to invest in buying eggs or extracting them, even if it's from the wife, there's a process to extract the eggs. There's a process to create the embryos, and you're going to make more than you need as a general rule, because... what if one of them doesn't work? What if it doesn't take?
Part of the economic formula.
That's part of the economic formula. So if these laws get changed in Michigan and these bills get passed, we are now opening the door to a multi-billion-dollar industry. The big fertility is an industry, and there are people who are waiting to tap the market in Michigan. Because like I said, we're one of only two states that have held out against the commodification and commercialization of surrogacy contracts.
We need to talk about three things with the remaining time. We need to talk, one of the things is doing the research on this. We talked about exploitation of women. Mm-hmm. We talk about commodification of children and of the females. We also need to talk about the impact on existing birth certificates and other things like that. So how do you want to address those three issues?
So real quickly, I'd like to talk about how the commodification of children. One of the things in Michigan we have, you have to adopt the child who's born of a surrogate, and that's a safety net for the child. There have been cases, for example, recently out of California, a surrogate was contracted to carry the babies of a man from North Carolina. She never met the man, of course, because it's all brokered through a third-party broker. Well, come to find out, the man was a disabled, deaf man living in his parents' basement in deplorable situations.
Not capable of proper care.
He purchased donor eggs, purchased the surrogate. She had triplets. And once she found out these babies were in a situation that was not something that was good for the children, she had asked for custody of the kids. But because it was a contract, she was bound by the contract, and she had to turn these three babies over.
So it supersedes.
Yes. It superseded the best interest of that child because the state is not involved in contracts. So that's one of the problems. But moreover, these contracts allow for, and I know this is going to sound, you know, hyperbolic, but baby selling. There was a surrogacy ring in California that was busted by the FBI about 10 years ago. Because of surrogacy contracts, they were brokering these women to give birth to these babies and then selling them on the black market to the highest bidder. Because there's no state oversight, there's no adoption, and that's a problem for these children.
And I bet a lot of that's still going on. There's lots of ugly stuff going on. I mean, the FBI can't even stop the trafficking of young women for prostitution in this country.
You're right, Pastor Jay. And in fact, in some African countries, they have busted surrogacy rings. I mean, sex trafficking is a very lucrative business, but some of these nefarious individuals have decided that surrogacy trafficking is even more lucrative. They busted a situation where women were being handcuffed to beds, forcibly impregnated, and then they take the babies and sell them. But these women supposedly voluntarily consented to a contract that nobody's checking. There's no government intervention. There's no oversight. And so this is allowed to flourish, and that's a problem for women.
For sure. What about those birth certificates?
So in addition to allowing surrogacy contracts, this package of bills, it's very comprehensive, would make Michigan probably the most liberal state in the union with regard to upending our parentage laws. They do away with the term mother and father.
Think about that.
Yeah, think about it a long time.
My mind hardly comprehends that. So my great-grandchild, under this legislation, if born in Michigan, will not indicate its mother or its father.
It would be parent one and parent two on the birth certificate.
And what is the ramifications of that?
Well, because these bills allow for two unmarried, unrelated to the child people to be intended parents, parent one and parent two could be one person living in Texas, one person living in Michigan. They could be two men, two women. To heterosexual people, whatever gender. And in fact, interestingly enough, there's nothing in these bills that mandate that it's only two intended parents. So I think that's an oversight by the bill sponsors. But the point is, the traditional family of mom, dad, baby is being completely upended by these bills. It's intended parent one, intended parent two. The term spouse is replacing husband and wife in all of our parentage laws. So the Paternity Act is now going to be called the Parentage Act because paternity refers to a man. So we can't have that, right? So they're doing away with, they're making all of our parentage laws gender neutral in order to fit into a larger agenda, which you guys can all figure out what it is.
Well, that large agenda is, and we say this kindly, and we say it from a scriptural standpoint, that God's plan is for one man and one woman to be married. And so we're living in a world that's trying to deny their gender, trying to tell God that, yes, I might have been born a man or a woman, but I'll make myself whatever I want to be because we have the science to do that today and so forth. So again, it's all about trying to play God. And the state is in on it, and there's a huge agenda, political agenda. So they want to make babies available to any kind of combination of gender that they want to put together. And so it's really a rebellion against the God of heaven and against our own creation.
That's a good way to put it, Pastor Jay. And interestingly enough, in some states where they do allow surrogacy contracts, it is limited to heterosexual married couples. For example, using their own gametes, meaning dad's sperm, mom's egg, and that's the only arrangement that's allowed. And that's the case in some other countries as well. So, but this would allow any combination, and the child is good to be kept in the dark because the records are sealed. The child will not be aware that they were the product of a donor egg, a donor sperm, and a surrogate. And so the intended parents will be listed on the birth certificate as the parents. And the child will not even know their genetic heritage because if they were conceived through donor gametes, for example. And I think that's a problem for the child, to not know your medical history. I mean, obviously, there are situations in tragedies where a child is left abandoned or orphaned and they don't know their family history. And we all recognize that as a tragedy. The difference is these are intentionally creating children who are going to be separated from their genetic heritage.
We need to talk about this bill. This is not hypothetical, this legislation. Explain that in our remaining couple minutes.
Sure. These bills were introduced and fast-tracked through the Michigan House of Representatives. They were introduced and brought up in committee in less than 18 hours with no notice to anyone else. And then they were voted on and passed out of the House within 18 days of being introduced. They are now on break right now for the winter, for Christmas. They will be back in January, and these bills will be up in the Senate, the Michigan Senate, for final passage. So I'm encouraging your listeners to get a hold of their senator, their state senator, and let them know these bills are dangerous, that you don't want them to upend Michigan parentage laws, that surrogacy contracts exploit women, commodify children, and lead to a tremendous loss of life through excess embryo production and destruction and selective abortion. So we need to stop these bills in the Senate.
Genevieve, this is a lot to comprehend. I'm sure that our listeners will want to refer this to our archives so they can listen to it and be informed. But what other resources do they have available through the internet to access this information on a timely basis?
Sure. RTL.org, RTL, Right to Life, righttolife.org is our website. But there are some other great resources. There's a group called Them Before Us that looks at surrogacy-conceived children through the eyes of the children. And then there is Jennifer Lahl, L-A-H-L, out of California, who is an expert on surrogacy. She's done some great documentaries called Big Fertility and Eggsploitation. They're great documentaries. If anybody wants more information, they can Google Jennifer Lahl out of California.
And how do you spell Lahl?
L-A-H-L.
L-A-H-L?
Yep. So great resources.
Well, Genevieve, thank you so much. You've brought us several very current and important moral and social issues to the forefront. We really appreciate that. I'm sure we'll have you back on this continuing discussion and related subjects.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Pastor Jay, it's always a pleasure to have you, and we appreciate your insights and the sensitivity. Thank you for sharing your personal journey and perspective in these important moral, social issues.
I'm glad to be of some help.
This is your host, Tom Azure, for Pastor Jay Gallimore. Genevieve Marnon of Right to Life. This is Strong Tower Radio. God bless. Bye now.